Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to May 1st at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear directly from you. The number is 844-322-2742, and if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, this is your best chance to call and speak directly with us right now, so we cordially invite your call at 844-322-2742. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, the number is the same in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. During this whole situation that we've been in since March, I guess February, you want to go all the way back, even to January, when the first case of COVID-19 was found here in the United States, I have been thinking a whole lot about the story of Elijah pitted against the prophets of Baal. It's a story that took place on Mount Carmel in Israel. It's one of the most beautiful spots in all of that country. You're up on a peak and you look down on the Jezreel Valley, and it is just breathtaking. The view is just spectacular from that particular spot. But the reason I've been thinking about that story so much during this particular time, because I think a lot of people are having to make some decisions for the first time in their life. Do I really believe that God is the one true God and that he has made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ? And do I truly believe that he loves me and cares for me and he has my best interest at heart?
Yes.
Now, back in the day, a lot of the Israeli citizens, the Jewish people, were bowing to foreign gods. They were bowing to Baal, and there were a lot of prophets of Baal. And Elijah said, enough is enough. It's time to confront. It's time to get the people of Israel to make a decision. So he's on Mount Carmel, and he came near to all the people, and he said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. So I love the way the ESV puts that. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? And they had two different opinions.
Sure.
They believed Baal was bringing some prosperity into their lives. They believed some things about God as well, but they were sitting on the fence. They, as James said, they were unstable in all their ways.
Right.
Now, when life gets tough, when you go through a circumstance, when you experience trials and tribulations and suffering, limping is not going to get you through that situation. You have to have some clarity of mind, and you have to have some courage of heart to get through. You have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's only one God and that he has manifested himself in the person of Jesus Christ, and you have to know that he is trustworthy.
Yes.
And have the courage to entrust yourself to him in the midst of that situation. So that's what Elijah was challenging the people to do. He said, if you believe Baal, go after him. If you believe God is the one true God, then follow him. No more of this flip-flopping between the two. No more limping between two opinions. So what did Elijah do? He pressed the issue, and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a bull, we're going to sacrifice it, and we're going to call upon our respective gods, and whoever answers, then that's the one we're going to follow. And so the prophets of Baal went first. They did what they were supposed to do with the bull, and then they cried out to Baal to answer. And here in verse 30 or 29, it says this, and as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention.
No one was there.
No one was there. That's exactly right. So they were worshiping a figment of their imagination, something that didn't have any power, something that could not even hear them cry, something that had no idea what was going on in the hearts of the people. So someone that had no answer to the situation that they were in. And I'm afraid there are so many people today that are experiencing that same thing, that the things that they have deemed so vitally important in their lives, they're calling out to in the midst of this pandemic, and they're getting no response.
Right,
they're getting no answer. So this leaves them scratching their heads, wondering where to go and to whom to turn. Well, that's why I'm so grateful that we're here with this particular radio broadcast, and that there's many other voices out there in the world proclaiming the good news about Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Because here is how the story ends. When Elijah called upon the name of the Lord, guess what? The Lord heard and the Lord answered. Why? Because that's the God that we serve. He is interested in us. He cares for us. And he wants the best for us. So when life gets tough, we have someone that we can call upon and someone that we know will hear us and will answer us.
Yes.
His name is Jesus Christ. So if you're limping through this crisis, if you're going between two opinions of whether you need to look for a worldly solution or you need to turn to the Lord, now is the time to turn to the Lord, because whatever worldly solution you're trying to apply to this pandemic, I guarantee you, you're not going to get an answer. You're not going to get a response. Just simply nothing will come to you.
Right.
But if you want somebody that will answer, his name is Jesus. And he has already answered in power and might through his death, burial, and resurrection. He is alive. He understands our suffering. He is near to the brokenhearted. He is someone that we can trust, someone that we can turn to, someone that we can depend upon through thick and thin.
That is just good stuff, Bob, and thank you for those thoughts as we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway. Friends, glad you're here today. We have plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That number good at the U.S. and Canada. The lines are wide open, and if you have something you'd like to discuss, perhaps something on the topic that Bob was discussing, or if there is a Bible question that you have, well, this is your best opportunity. Call right now if you can, 844-322-2742. And friends, Bob Christopher has a message for our donors in the month of May. Quoting Bob, he says, "I want to send a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace to you as a token of my appreciation for standing with Basic Gospel through this global coronavirus scare. This will be a great reminder that the one who loves you and gave himself for you is living in you today. This is a great resource to share with someone you know who is struggling. Your act of kindness may be the very thing that turns their eyes to Jesus." That's what Bob Christopher wrote just a day or two ago. So, friends, we so appreciate every one of you who stands by us each month with your prayers and your financial support. And the need, of course, continues. When you're ready, as always, you can support the message of grace in Jesus Christ by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. And when you do, we'll say thank you by sending you Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Yes, indeed. And boy, it's a book. It's been out about 5 years. The 5-year anniversary is coming up, I think, on August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a book that has really helped so many people throughout these 5 years to really get a fresh look at the grace of God. You know, we think we know what the grace of God is. We think we understand it. We think we could define it. And then when we're asked about it, we're not really sure. We don't really know. We don't have a strong idea as to what the grace of God is and why the grace of God is necessary for our salvation and why the grace of God is necessary for living out the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do it apart from the grace of God. It's always a by grace through faith in Jesus reality. So this is a book that will take you deep into the Word of God and show you what the grace of God really is, how it's connected to Jesus Christ, how, as a matter of fact, it is best seen in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So make sure you get a hold of this book. I guarantee you it'll be a blessing in your life and something that you can share with someone else.
Once again, it's our way of saying thank you for your donation to Basic Gospel to support this message of love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ during the month of May. Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, will be coming your way. Be sure to request your copy when you make your donation. Once again, 844-322-2742. The lines are open. We want to hear from you. In the meantime, let's go to Wayne, Michigan, and hear from Philip.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, Deacon Philip from Wayne, Michigan, near Detroit, Michigan. My question is Genesis 2 and 7, and it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, which you comment on that. And some Bibles that say man became a living soul. I was thinking that was the breath of life. So would you explain that? And thank you so much for taking my call. I'll be listening. Have a blessed day.
Well, Philip, thank you so much for posing that question on today's broadcast. This is just one of the wow verses in the Bible when you see how God carefully made man. He used the dust of the earth. He formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then he breathed life into the man. So God is the source of our life as human beings. And that's what we forfeited in the fall. That's what Adam and Eve forfeited when they decided to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They forfeited that life, the source of that life being God himself, and said, hey, we're going to find life elsewhere. We're going to find it in the knowledge of good and evil, and we're going to be gods in and of ourselves. We don't have to depend upon God. We don't have to rely upon God as the source of life in and through us. We can find that elsewhere. And mankind has been trying to figure that out ever since. Yeah. And thank God Jesus came into this world and said that he came that we might have life. Why do we need life? Because we died in Adam. So this is a wow verse. It talks about kind of our humble beginnings, but it's something that is really kind of powerful. If you think through kind of the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus says, as it is on earth, or on earth as it is in heaven. Well, here we see kind of a picture of heaven and earth coming together. We see the breath of God being breathed into man that came from the dust of the earth. So we see these two coming together. So man is where heaven and earth meets.
Yes.
And we get to express a heavenly life in this earthly venue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're seeing here. It's a pretty powerful picture. And that's what we forfeited, that opportunity to express a heavenly life in this earthly venue.
Yeah.
And that's why we've made a mess of things. So we see that it's that mankind is a place. So we see this as the first Adam, and that's why it's so important for us to understand Jesus Christ as the second Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He then became the place where heaven and earth met. And when we come to faith in him, then we get restored to that original vocation of being an image bearer,
mm-hmm.
where we can reflect the very glory of God out there in this world. So Christ becomes that place where heaven and earth meet. He becomes the mediator between God and man. And when we come to him, then we get reconnected to the very life of God, and God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. So what this is saying, as I look at this, what this is saying is that God has breathed, that he has animated our inner beings. He has put life into our inner beings. All the other creations, he didn't breathe into them. He simply spoke,
mm-hmm.
and they came to be.
Right.
But here he breathed his life. He is the one animating our souls, our personalities, who we are, so that we could carry out that that image-bearing role. So that's how I see this. It's like I said, it's one of those wow verses in the Bible to really understand the care that God had in forming us since we were going to be the very image bearers.
Yes. Philip, hope that's a help to you. It's good to hear from you. Hope you'll reach out again. And we love hearing from all of you, our listeners. And right now, if you're hearing the broadcast live, you can give us a call at 844-322-2742. Rockwall, Texas. Let's listen to this call from Pat.
This is Pat. I'm from Rockwall. I've got a question for you. It's from Romans 8. It refers to animals in verse 22. And it says, "For we know that even the things of nature, like animals and plants, suffer in sickness and death as they await this great event." And I believe they're talking about the resurrection of the dead. But it's throwing me. And what is your opinion on animals? I think that when God knows exactly what to do with animals when they pass away, but I believe they just don't exist anymore. But I just want to get your opinion about that. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, Pat, thanks for the question. I think you're reading from probably a paraphrased version of the Bible. Here in verse 22 in the ESV, it says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth unto now." And so when Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually, and it subjected all of creation to that curse. We see that, you know, what they were to cultivate became thistles and thorns and that sort of thing. And that's why man must work it by the sweat of his brow. That was part of that particular curse as a result of sin. And so all of creation is groaning for that day when God's glory will reappear at the second coming,
right,
and that we will be fully released to experience our full liberation as children of God and to carry out our work of stewarding this earth, this creation that God made for us. I mean, and that's crazy to think that. You look at the vastness of this world, this universe, the stars, and all that we see out there, and you realize God made that for us.
Yes.
It was for our benefit, for our pleasure, for our vocation to cultivate and shepherd what God has put there for us. So all that's going to be restored. We're going to have new heavens, new earth. And we see, you know, in Genesis 1 and 2, the story starts in a garden. And as we go to the end of Revelation, we see the story ends in a garden. And that's the way God has designed this. So what we lost in Adam, we're going to gain in Jesus Christ in its fullness. And that means not only are we going to be set free, liberated, which we already are through faith in Jesus Christ, but all of creation will be liberated as well.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, something special has been happening around here on Sunday mornings, and it's kind of a popular place. Tell us about Sunday Morning Live.
Well, Sunday mornings, we started this when this pandemic hit. We started Sunday Morning Live, and that's every Sunday at 9:30 Central Time. And we stream this through our Facebook page and also on our YouTube channel. But it's just an opportunity to gather, to open up the Word of God, and to look to see what God has for us in the person of Jesus Christ. We've started a study through the book of Romans. So we've gotten through the first two chapters, and this Sunday we'll begin chapter 3. And Paul is making the case for grace is what I'm saying about the book of Romans. It is Paul's case for grace. It's the reason why God had to do what he did in the person of Jesus Christ. So we're going to see in that particular chapter, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But, and that's the key, is what follows that but.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the grace of God being poured out on us in Jesus Christ. So come join us. We would love to have you 9:30 Central Time on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. You can get to both by simply going to basicgospel.net. Both links are at the very top of the page.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, a heartbreaking situation that Amy wrote to us about from Detroit. She says, my husband recently told me he no longer believes in God. He has been listening to philosophers like Yaron Brook, and he is his favorite. I have to defend my faith every day. I keep praying for him, but it's getting worse. He said, anyone who thinks they hear from God is mentally ill. I feel so hopeless and discouraged. I try to show him Christ, but his ideology is so crazy. Can you please offer any advice or encouragement? Again, that's from Amy in Detroit.
From Amy in Detroit.
Yeah.
So say that again. Repeat that again.
She says, my husband recently told me he no longer believes in God. He has been listening to philosophers, and Yaron Brook is his favorite. I have to defend my faith every day. I keep praying for him, but it's getting worse. He said, anyone who thinks they hear from God is mentally ill, so I feel so hopeless and discouraged. I try to show him Christ, but his ideology is so crazy. Can you please offer any advice or encouragement? Thank you. And again, as I said, that's from Amy in Detroit.
Well, Amy, that is really a great question. And Yaron Brook, I know very little about him other than the fact that he serves as the head of the Ayn Rand Institute or something like that. And it's a philosophy of objectivism. It's a philosophy that really centers on the self and kind of excludes God from the picture, God from the story. It's something that has been circulating kind of around the world for a number of years. Mm-hmm. But it's atheistic in nature. Obviously, he believes that faith is just a blind leap in the dark, that there's no evidence to this thing called Christianity. And I would encourage you, Amy, to challenge him to explore the evidence concerning Christ Jesus. Explore the historical evidence, the fact that he truly was a human being, that he lived at a certain place and at a certain time, and to look at the evidence for the resurrection, and to really examine that. And if after examining he wants to reject the evidence, then that's his prerogative, but at least he knows what he's rejecting, because right now it doesn't look like or doesn't sound like he knows what he is objecting to. He's just objecting to what he thinks of Christianity. So I would encourage him to really examine the evidence. We have a wonderful book by James Wallace, who wrote Cold Case Christianity, and it's a wonderful examination of the evidence. And Amy, if you will write to us, we'll let you know how you can get that particular book. We would love to put it in your hands. But you keep praying for him. You keep showing forth, manifesting the life of Christ in that situation. And that's going to be evidence as well. If he sees how your faith in Christ is making a difference in you, at some point he'll have to step back and take notice and say, hey, there's something real about the hope that is within my wife. And Paul says he's already been sanctified because you're a believer.
Yes.
In this marriage. Mm-hmm. So you just keep being you and let God work in and through you in this situation.
Absolutely. Amy, thanks for reaching out. We hope this is a help to you. And thanks, everybody, for being with us on this first day of May for Basic Gospel. Over the weekend, if Bible questions or life concerns arise, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Also, keep in mind that we have this excellent gift for our May donors. It's Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's our way of saying thanks to you for your support of Basic Gospel. And you can click donate at basicgospel.net and help us get the word out far and wide that God loves you and has given himself for you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. And be sure to request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace when you make your contribution this month to Basic Gospel. Remember Sunday Morning Live from Facebook or YouTube, as Bob was saying just a few moments ago. Link at the top of the page. You'll find links to both Facebook and YouTube there. Now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis. We'll be back on Monday, and I hope you'll be with us. In the meantime, we all join together in wishing you a blessed weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.